Good morning. It's 8:45 a.m. on Tuesday, June the 16th, 2020. In theory, the local ambient temperature is 65 degrees. In practice, it's closer to 75 degrees. It was 70 when I left the house, and it's warmed up. It's warmed up a lot in the last 20 minutes. This is the time of the day when the sun gets up high enough and really starts warming things up a lot. So, in spite of the fact that it's nearly 9 o'clock, I'm not even awake. I stayed up too late last night chatting with a friend who was in need of an ear and some advice. It always amazes me that creative people are so inculcated into the status quo that they overlook some basic fundamental ideas of risk. We had a long talk about risk last night and what constitutes risk, and when we're talking about risk, what are we talking about? And so I made a comment about self-publishing was the least risky path I knew, and he was like, dude, you gotta be kidding me. What about all this other stuff? None of that other stuff really matters. If you don't get through and put the book on a shelf. So for me, the risky path is trying to find an agent and have the agent try to find a publisher. Have the publisher try to find a bookstore to sell it in. When, if I self-publish, there's a 100% chance that the book is going to see the shelf. 100%. The only way it won't find a shelf is if I don't finish it. As soon as I finish it, it sees the shelf. Yeah, maybe people won't buy it. But that's a given. I mean, it's, maybe people won't buy it. Maybe people won't like my art. I will eventually write something that people won't like. I think it's almost inevitable. I thought Wizard's Butler might be, but it turns out they like that better than anything I've written yet. And the only risk is that I stop writing. Whereas if I were traditionally published, I'd need a day job because otherwise I couldn't afford to live. I'm old enough to retire, but living on retirement pay would be difficult. But he was like, well, but, I'm like, no, but. What are you thinking of when you're considering risk? And it's like, well, what if a book bombs? Well, then you write another one. That's always the answer. Write another book. I just keep writing another book. And it's like, compare that to my day job. My day job left me because they lost funding. It wasn't because I was a bad person or didn't do the job or that the company was somehow lacking in management. It was, we invaded Iraq, and the federal money that went to pay to help educate people who are blind or deaf and needed significant support needs. All that money got siphoned off and sent to the tanks in Iraq. So our entire budget filled the gas tanks and the tanks in Iraq for about a day. What was it? And so the National Center had to fold. Technically it's still there, but it's not funded, it's not staffed. It just exists on paper. Hell, at this point, I could fund it. Not that I'm going to. Guys, that would mean I'd have to go back and have a day job, and I'd just as soon keep my comfortable lifestyle of reading and writing and walking and talking and playing games. Not because I'm particularly selfish, but because I'm tired. Although maybe it's because I'm selfish. I'm 67 years old. I should be retired. But what would be the point of retiring from writing? it's just madness. That's just crazy talk. So I try to get him to think about what that idea of Jesus kind of risky, isn't it, really means. And he's like, well, you don't have anybody doing promotions or reviews or, I don't have those. I don't need those. Why would I want those? He's like, I don't know, but it's a different model. It's a different paradigm. It's a different idea. If you don't need to sell 100,000 units in 90 days, then a lot of opportunities open up. A lot of things happen. I don't need to sell 10,000 units a day. I don't need to sell, well, it'd be nice if I sold 1,000 units a day, but that's all right. I sell 300. No, that's not true. I sell 100. I sell 100,000. This last 3 months, 4 months, I sold basically 100 books a day and another 200,000 page reads in Kindle Unlimited a day. So every 5 days is 1 million page reads. Oh yeah, that's going to taper off. So as soon as I stop writing another, as soon as I don't have another book out long enough, that's going to taper off. It's already started tapering off. It's tapered off from 250,000 to 200 the last 3 weeks. It'll keep going down. It'll keep going down. That's just the nature of product. That's just the nature of how things work. People who are most interested in it get it first, and they get it fast, and then they're left looking for more. I talked to him about the idea of the midlife crisis, paranormal women's fiction people, the 13 women who put together that movement on Amazon. And it's really going strong. While I was thinking about talking to him, I went back and looked, and a lot of the book twos are out. So I've gone through and picked up. I got like 12 books right now in my to-be-are list, my to-be-read list. And he said, well, that seems like kind of counterintuitive. It's like, doesn't that fragment the market? And I'm like, what do you mean fragment the market? What does this fragment the market? And he says, well, if I buy a game, you know, if three companies put out the great game in the same week, then I'm only going to get one of them. Yeah, and how long is it going to take you to play the game? Oh, it'll take me a month or more, sometimes weeks. Exactly. How long did it take you to read a novel? I was like, what? This idea that that the market is made up of people who read. At least a book a week. A lot of people read two or three books a week. Some people read a book a day. The idea that there was enough of those to fund an author just struck him as being completely foreign. Because, of course, you only buy a game once a quarter, maybe. Of course, the trads only publish one of your books once a year, if you're lucky. Because scarcity is their model. They artificially create scarcity by manipulating the price, by restricting content. And they use a produce model. If it's been on the shelf more than 90 days, it's old. It's time to come back home. Get ready to sit with me. Post. They completely overlook the reality that, you know, one of the reasons that series books always tapered off after about the third or fourth volume was because bookstores weren't still stocking book one. And then they weren't stocking book one or two. And so trying to get somebody interested in book five of a series where book one and two weren't available and they hadn't read, that's just madness. That's just crazy. That's completely failing to understand the marketplace and how it works and how readers read. And that was crazy long before ebooks. That was crazy long before self-published authors became reality. He's still in that mindset. He's still in that kind of headspace where the idea that 1,000 people would be enough, because he's thinking he needs at least 100,000 to make a difference. So we ran some numbers. And I showed him, okay, this is what you get for 1,000, this is what you get for 2,000. And yeah, the first couple aren't going to do very well, so you got to contain the cost of the first few. They're not going to be perfect. They're not going to be, well, hell, they're never going to be perfect. But they can get better. So I stayed up really late last night. I was up till like 11-ish. And then woke up at 6 and then fed the cats, laid back down again, slept till 7:30. So I'm barely awake. I'm barely moving. It's late. Sun's too hot. Somebody call a wambulance. But it was a good talk. It was a good chat. I hope I helped him kind of line up his thinking a little bit. And I credit J.C. Hutchins for helping me get my head in the right place. It's like, what do you want from your writing? And at that point, I hadn't really thought about it. Or what I thought about was so simplistic is that it didn't really seem like it could matter. That it could be significant. I wanted people to be able to read my books in their own voice so that they could hear their voice in their heads and not mine. For all the good it did, they still hear my voice. A lot of them still complain that they hear my voice in their head. A lot of you still hear my voice in your head. But when I boil it down to that, I just want people to be able to read my books. it really became clear that using a publisher was probably not the right choice. The tools existed at the time for me to do it myself. And I got tangled up with Ryzen, for better or worse, which taught me a lot about the lessons that I needed to take away from that. Most notably, you can't. Trusting somebody else to do your work is not a good thing. But about the time I got the heave-ho from my job and I got the books back from Ryden, I started doing it in-house, just putting the books out. And yeah, I had spousal support for the first year or so. I had a day job for the first, let's see, 2007, 2012. So the first 5 years I had a day job. Myself, which helped. And the rest of the time is just, I've just been a full-time writer and trying to write full-time. Trying to write more books. I'm not really getting there. Two or three here or there. 2019 was such a disaster. I really blame Cape Grace because I really didn't want to write that book. But I did it. It's a good book. It's not an easy book to read, but it's a good book. It's a good story. I understand people want to see more about Sarah. That's not going to happen. But I will answer the question of what happened to South St. Cloud. No, Sarah does not go home again. There is no home for her to go home to. She's not that place anymore. She's where she's supposed to be. That was made pretty clear. She's where she's supposed to be. And that, I think if there is a lesson to be learned from Sarah, it's that sometimes where you're supposed to be isn't where you thought you should be. It isn't where you think you ought to be. Just where you are. So it's a lot like writing, I guess. It's like, that's where you are. I'm wearing sunglasses this morning. I don't think I like them. I had a pair of just non-prescription sunglasses left over when I had my cataract surgery. And they're really nice. They wrap around. They protect the corners of my eyes. They really do help. My eyes are kind of blurry. there. I've got a lot of sticky eye goo. Which makes it difficult to prescribe glasses. I'm looking forward to getting my new reading glasses. Anyway, happy Tuesday. Because I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.